Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
All right, and welcome to the UFC Prague edition of the DFS Army Killshot MMA podcast, where we break down all the fights from a DraftKings perspective. My name is Kevin Allen. I'm going to host it today, but I've got two experts on the line with me. I've got my man, the DFS Sniper, a.k.a. Big Sean. What's going on, my man?
Oh, same old, you know, doing this a day early on a Thursday, but got all my tape study done and looking to make a little bit of cash. I don't think I told you guys I'm going to Vegas on Sunday, so looking for a little bit of extra cash in my pocket.
I love it. Too bad you can't bet on this card, but you'll be able to take some sports book bets out on next week's card. So we'll see how this one goes, man. Got to take down some cash. We've also got the man with the plan, the sleeveless wonder, the guy who's everywhere in the MMA world. You could find him everywhere. I'm not even going to say all that. Kyle, Big Marley, what's up, my man?
What's happening, man? Coming off a bad week, so I'm definitely ready to rebound. I'm feeling a big one coming up. I'm pretty sure that 15K is mine, unless some of our listeners split it with me after hearing my advice.
Yeah, last week was tough for me, too. Scotty Hot Sauce, man, he did me wrong.
Yeah, he crushed me. If he wins, then it would have been a good week for me, but came down to him, and he blew it for me.
That fight has another 45 seconds in it. He finishes Lentz.
I mean, he was coming back around, but, you know, that's what happens when you have a wrestler type like Lentz in there. Sometimes they could just kind of wrestle bang you and mess it all up. So, Sean, tell us about the DFS Express and your podcast.
So, started a podcast which I've done for a little while on DFS Army and my YouTube channel. It's been just kind of an early week MMA breakdown where I fly through the fights. Like, we do an in-depth breakdown here. That show started as just I fly through the fights, quick preview, but I'm expanding it now to kind of be just an all-encompassing DFS podcast. The first episode I did yesterday was a little mini rant on the DraftKings GPP structure, specifically for these grow the game tournaments they're running in some of the niche sports that are just, for example, first prize was 10 grand, second prize was 3,000 bucks, which is insane. So I went a little rant about that. I'm going to sit down with some guys to do a couple interviews from people you know in, well, the DFS Army and the just DFS industry, and then keep doing slate breakdowns. I can add MMA like I've been doing, some soccer stuff, some NASCAR stuff. I went to the World Championship last year, just kind of branching out. So you can subscribe to that on YouTube. My YouTube channel is The Daily Fantasy Sniper. The show, The DFS Express, is on Podbean right now. It's been approved to be added to the iTunes library. It is not yet up. As soon as it is, I'll tweet it out. So if you get me on Twitter, at The DF Sniper, I will tweet it out there. And excited about kind of growing this podcast and adding more to the DFS Army. The artwork is out there. It's got the sweet little helmet on there, and kind of just branching out with kind of an everyday podcast. So, or as close as I can to everyday, every other day. But look out, Morning Grind, here we come.
I love it, man. Excited to give that a watch. And obviously, Big Marley's here. And if you want to access to Marley's 20,000-word in-depth breakdown of the fight week in, week out, every week, you can go out. You can buy them. I believe they're for sale on other sites for 10, 15 bucks a week. That's cool. Or you could sign up for DFS Army. Use promo code Sleeveless or promo code Sniper, whichever one you want. Get 20% off. You lock in at $39.99 a month. After the 20% off, you'll get Kyle's MMA breakdowns. You'll get mine, Sean's, Kyle's, and Eric, all of our experts' MMA picks. But not just that. Every sport, NASCAR, NBA, MLB, NFL, tennis. What am I missing, Sean? Soccer? Is that a sport in America? Do they play soccer?
It is, and it's a profitable sport if you know how to play it.
I don't know anything about it. Sounds like some hockey. There's a bunch of Russian-sounding names. The other day, everybody was talking about lots of names. I thought it was a Dagestani, like, you know, MMA fight. They're like, no, we're doing hockey today. I'm like, all right, man, I don't know what the fuck that is. So All-Star Break, man. You want to degen on DFS? Sign up for DFS Army. Use one of these codes. Sniper, you can use Sleeveless. You get all this stuff and more. It's awesome. So that concludes my pitch for DFSArmy.com VIP. Now we'll get into the breakdowns. We're going to break down the main card here, and we're going to save the prelims for DFS Army subscribers. That's just how it is. Listen, you don't get number 10, number 20, number 25 ranked MMA players in the world and get all our stuff for free. Fuck that. Sign up and pay. But in the meanwhile, let's break down the main card, guys. So let's start out with the first card fight of the main card. We've got Magomed Ankalaev taking on Klitson D'Abreu. Ankalaev, a -210 favorite. Comeback is +175 on D'Abreu. Inside the distance prop, all right, not even inside the distance, under 1.5 round prop, and I love this, is -120. So Vegas is looking for an early finish in this fight. And here's what we know. Ankalaev, Dagestani bruiser, has wrestling, but probably is more of a striker than a guy who wants to wrestle you, unlike somebody earlier in this card that we'll talk about, like a Rustam Khabalov. He's kind of different from a Rustam. D'Abreu is basically a Brazilian submission grappler. And what we know about Ankalaev is in his last fight against Paul Craig, he got subbed with, you know, I don't know, 1 or 2 seconds left after dominating the entire fight. So there's a little bit of fear there that this other submission grappler might do the same. What do you think, Sean? Is D'Abreu going to pull a Paul Craig and throw up a last-second submission to get a miracle win against Ankalaev here?
I don't think so, but unfortunately for everyone backing Ankalaev, which I am picking him pretty confidently, is that is what Abreu does. He's also a big guy for light heavyweight. He's fought at heavyweight before. Brazilian regional scene, which is always sketchy, has some power for heavyweight. 6 straight wins, 5 of those by submission. But he has to, you know, he can get taken down. I've seen him taken down. It's a matter of can Ankalaev ground and pound him out. Ankalaev does have good ground and pound. People are worried about his fight IQ, and rightfully so, and that he tapped out with 1 second to go. I'm going to stop short of calling him a quitter like a lot of people have had. Unless you've had a triangle slapped on you, you can't hear anything. You're not thinking about that stuff. If you're about to pass out, you're about to pass out. Now, should he have let himself go out and try and be aware? Sure. But being in that position myself before, I'm going to give him a pass. But it is, you know, to get caught in that submission is a different story by a guy who he was dominating for 14 minutes and 55 seconds. I will say in that fight, he wouldn't have scored great, but I think he's more aware of what he needs to do. I think he's going to amp up the ground and pound looking for the finish. He's not going to want to just control for 3 rounds. I like Ankalaev a bunch here. I'm not, outside of the sub attempt, not impressed with Abreu at all. Pretty high on Ankalaev. I will just say, you know, if there weren't as many live dogs as there are on this card, I'd throw in a couple shares of Abreu because he is live to the submission. We've seen Ankalaev sub before. Not here. Too many live dogs. Ankalaev, one of my more confident plays on the card.
I like it. Kyle, you taking a shot on D'Abreu by submission for a, let's see here, do they even have this prop out? I'm going to say not Ankalaev. Well, I can't find that prop, so what do you say, Kyle?
I will take a couple DraftKings shots on Abreu, but that's because I am multi-entering. If I was making like 10 or less lineups, I'd probably stay away from Abreu and just take Ankalaev as my only guy from this fight. But I'm probably going to be a little bit under the weight to the field on Ankalaev. I don't see him going for a whole lot of takedowns in this fight, and I think he's going to want to keep this standing. If that's the case, I think he's going to need a knockout to score real high. And with that $9,200 price tag, I just don't want to have to rely on that knockout. I think it could get dangerous if it goes to the ground, and especially if Abreu gets top control. If he can get top control, then maybe he can make that, 7,000 turn into 15K for somebody. So that's the reason I do want a little bit of Abreu, is because he will be low owned. There's going to be a lot of underdogs that are on this card that will be, highly owned, and that's going to take away from Abreu. That's what leads me to him a little bit, but nah, the pick's got to be ankle live. I think he's just going to be a lot better on the feet. And if he does go for takedowns, hopefully he's not stupid and doesn't get caught in anything. But yeah, I mean, it's really an ownership thing for me with him. If he's going to be popular, I'd rather be underweight. But if I knew he was going to be low owned, then I'd go overweight. So I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do with him yet, but I'm guessing I'll be overweight to the field.
I have to say, I don't think he's going to be very popular. And I really like Ankalaev here. I like the finish prop. My one concern isn't so much that Paul Craig threw up a last second, like really, really sneaky submission in that fight. I get it. Ankalaev at that point was so confident. He was just like, I got this guy beat. That, you know, he just kind of let his guard down a little bit. And Paul Craig does that. He's got that in his repertoire to throw up that little sneaky sub real quick too. It was lightning fast. You know, props to him for doing that. But my concern was he wasn't really like beating Paul Craig's ass before that. You know, like, it's not like Craig is going to stand there and strike with you, but it wasn't like Ankalaev was really putting a beat down on him either. You know, it was just kind of, yeah, he was winning the fight, but he was getting a takedown, and then he would get kind of tied up, and it just wasn't that pretty. So it's plausible that we see something like that again, which wouldn't necessarily lead to a high-scoring affair, as you said, Kyle, but I do like this inside-the-distance prop on this fight. And I think Ankalaev got a really good shot, actually, of knocking this guy out. This guy is a lot slower. He just didn't impress me at all. He looks like kind of a big Brazilian goofball. Like, I didn't see anything about his game that really was great, except he knows some BJJ. Big deal. So, fuck D'Abreu. I'm going for Ankalaev here. I'll have a share or two of D'Abreu just in case he, you know, a miracle. Cheap guy, you always do that when you're mass multi-entering, but definitely not going to be somebody I want to have a lot of exposure to or put a lot of money on. All right, let's move on to the next one. A couple of more familiar fighters, because this whole card is filled with people you've never heard of. But here are a couple of familiar fighters. We've got Peter Yan taking on John Dodson. Peter is a minus 300 favorite. The comeback on Dodson of plus 250, and the goes to decision prop is a massive minus 285. So, Kyle, Vegas sees a fight that's going to go to decision. Peter Yan's pretty expensive. What do you think? Is this playable on DraftKings? You fading this shit?
I'd say for GPPs, it's fadable for sure, because I think they're right. I think it will go to a decision, and I think Yan is going to get that decision, and that's what makes it fadable. If I was picking Dodson to get the decision win, then he's for sure playable. Cause it's a lot easier to make the winning lineup at his price with a decision win than it is at 9,300. So I'm definitely not fading Yan. I'm fading his price tag. I like Yan to get the win here. I'm very impressed with his game. I think he could be a world champion. It's just Dodson fights do not score highly, unless there's a finish. So that's the only chance that this fight scores highly is if one of them knocks the other out. I don't see it happening. I think we got a Yan 30-27 decision coming up. And that's why I think this is a fadable fight in GPPs. I just don't see him scoring well in the decision. I am pretty confident he gets the win, though, so I think he's playable in cash games if you want to just lock in that win as your expensive guy, or if you're going to get two expensive guys in there. I'm cool with him being in there, and I'd rather have him over Ankalaev because I'm more confident he gets the win. But, yeah, go ahead, fade the fight all together if you want to in GPPs.
It's funny, Peter Yan has scored in some of his wins fairly nicely, but I mean, against guys who weren't very good, John Dodson never been taken down. Sean, or never been knocked out anyway. Sean, do you think that Peter Yan can deliver what might be the first knockout of John Dodson's career?
No. Not much more than that. Dodson is, look, he's a flyweight contender. Those flyweights, they operate at a different level of speed, even if Dodson is getting older. The difference between flyweight and bantamweight, it doesn't sound like a lot. The speed is night and day. That's why Dodson was fast for flyweight. He's elusive. He's got really good takedown defense. Good striking. Fights close. All his fights are close. I'll save some thoughts for later with the other guys in the range, but I don't see any reason to play Petr Yan other than in a GPP. He's probably going to be pretty low owned for the talent. I do think he wins the fight. I think his volume and aggression will win the day, but I don't see this scoring well. And frankly, if you want to punt with John Dodson, even in his losses, he tends to score 30, 40 points. And Yan is going to push the pace and force Dodson to at least try and counter. I haven't seen Dodson knocked out. I don't mind Dodson as a cash punt, but I do think Yan wins the fight. I just, 9,300 is a pass for me.
I just agree. So I don't have a whole lot more to go with on this one. I actually think Dodson, this is going to be Dodson fights just don't score high. He darts in, he darts out. He's really quick. He runs around. He absorbs 3.5 strikes per minute. And as a guy that's a striker who doesn't wrestle very often, that's a very low number for a flyweight. You know, 3.5. Now, Petr Yan also absorbs 3.5 strikes per minute, but he's a guy who's going to be on top of you for half of the round. So, you know, when he's standing against someone, he's still probably absorbing the standard 5-6 strikes per minute that you'd see for these little guys. But Dodson just absorbs just 3.5. Think like a Cruz, the same style of fighting where it's just very tough to hit him. So even if you're beating his ass, you end up 70 significant strikes and a decision for a 70-point win. I'm not taking that kind of number on a guy for 9,300, especially with, you know, El Tractor and just some awesome guys mixed into that range that I totally like a lot more. So I will not have any exposure to Petr Yan in this one. And I might have a little Dodson. I think he can actually put up numbers if I wanted to take a loss in cash, but pay down. Why not? All right, let's move on to the next fight. And we've got my girl, Gorilla Liz Carmouche. She's taking on Lucy Putilova, a local product. Now, Gorilla is a minus 140 favorite with a comeback on Putilova at plus 120. The ghost to decision prop is minus 300. So in essence, we are looking at 3 rounds of fighting between 2 very, very boring female fighters. Now, Kyle, are you going to invest your money in watching Gorilla not strike for 3 rounds, but get a bunch of takedowns?
I am invested in this. This is my free bet of the card.
Gorilla.
I got one unit now. Lucy Poodle. I think Gorilla will get her takedowns in this fight, but I don't think she's going to do a whole lot with them. I don't see her getting a finish at all. And I think Putilova will get it to the feet. And I think she's going to dominate on the feet just as much Liz is dominating with her wrestling. But we got Putilova being in the hometown fighter here. And I think she could even finish her in the third round. I think she will piece her up on the feet. I think she'll be able to stop takedowns as well. And I think this is just going to turn out to be a close fight where it's like a 30-27. You really don't know who's going to win it. Well, since we got the hometown Putilova as a plus 124 underdog, I had to take a one-unit shot at that. I think she gets the decision, the nod from the judges in her hometown, because the crowd's going to be louder for those punches than they will be for those takedowns, and I see that getting it done.
Now, are you excited
on DraftKings, I really don't think this is a great fight.
I was just going to say, are you excited to roster that 60-point decision victory on DraftKings?
Not really.
Oh my goodness!
I don't care about this fight too much at all.
Kyle legitimately shocked me.
I think what I'm going to try to do. I like it more for a bet than I do for DraftKings. But I think what I'm going to try to do, I think I'm going to try to find my favorite Liz Carmouche lineup. I'm going to make that, and then I'm just going to throw Putilova in there as well, because leaving that $400 on the table makes that lineup contrarian, no matter who else is on it. So I think that's going to be my plan with that fight, just to have kind of like one each, and then I'll fade it. I think it would be an okay fight for cash games again if Putilova, if you want to take that floor, but there's just so much other value on this card where we really don't even need to go there. So go ahead and fade this fight altogether in DraftKings.
Man, Sean, he threw me for a loop. I need to compose myself. Talk about it. Sean, do you like it?
Yeah,
you hate it?
I'm on the Gorilla side, but it's striker versus grappler. Look, Lucy Putilova just threw down with Irene Aldana. Aldana makes those fights, you know, she goes to war. Pudilova usually has an advantage in the clinch. I don't think she will here because Liz Carmouche is so freaking strong. My one concern, like Kyle mentioned, is it is in the Czech Republic. Pudilova is the one Czech fighter on the card, likely to go to a decision. I think Carmouche grappling is going to win the day, but if this is any kind of close, you know, Pudilova could win a decision. I won't be heavily invested. I also, regardless of who you think is going to win the fight, I think Carmouche is the better DraftKings play because in her win, she's going to score higher. I don't think any really have GPP winning upside, but I think most people know that. So while I'm picking Carmouche to win, I'll have a sprinkle of Liz Carmouche, and I can't. If Lucy Pudilova puts up 100 points, I'm going to lose. And I'm okay with that in a fight that's minus 300 to go to a decision with a striker. So give me Gorilla a little bit. It's a better fight for cash games if you have a strong read. Even if you have a strong opinion on it, not a good GPP fight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Puds is not putting up 100 points. I don't know. I can't even see a scenario that could possibly happen in this fight. So,
toe to the eye.
I mean, 100 point. I don't know. It would have to be a 1%, 3 standard deviation unit, like, insanity for that to happen. I don't like this fight. I don't like Pudilova at all as a fighter. She bores the shit out of me. She doesn't go for takedowns. She has me okay takedown defense. I don't think that's going to hold up against Gorilla. So what's going to end up happening in my envisioning of this fight is what happens in all Carmouche fights. She'll get a bunch of takedowns. The other girl will get back up. There'll be some striking. And then the judges are going to make a decision. Carmouche is just not going to throw a lot of strikes. She just doesn't. She's not really looking to knock out her opponent. She's looking to point you up with some strikes and get grappling points and take you down and grapple you. The problem with her grappling, in my mind, has been she's not, like, aggressively advancing position all the time. I mean, she sometimes does it, but a lot of times she just kind of sits there in guard and just kind of does that thing where you kind of, like, maybe try to advance, but you take 10 minutes, you know, a full minute. It's just boring to watch. So I don't see a lot of action coming. I definitely don't think Pudilova is going to be the better fighter here. Could she win because she's the hometown Czech girl? Absolutely. I don't know how Czech judges operate, but I'm sure the crowd is going to be all over Pudilova and rooting her on. That said, I think if it's a fairly judged fight, I think the likely outcome is a win for Carmouche, beat a low-scoring one. So I don't mind her in, like, a cash game type entry. I certainly think she'll get, you know, 2 to 4 takedowns in the fight, but she's not anyone that I'm super excited to roster. I will have no shares of Pudilova in any format, because even if she wins by some miracle, she's still not going to win me a tournament because she's only going to put up 65 points. All right, next up on the card, we've got, the goon, Gian Vellante, plus 170, taking on some guy that fought once in the UFC and has shown nothing, Michal Olszewczyk, at minus 200. Now, it's interesting that Olszewczyk is a favorite here. I don't really know what he brings to the table that makes him that much better than the goon, but Kyle, why don't you break this one down for me, man? What do you see in Olszewczyk that makes him worth a minus 200 favorite status in this fight?
I think it's just from what we've seen in Vellante that makes this guy that much of a favorite. We know what Vellante brings at this point. It's just going to be he pours it on early. I mean, not even pours it on. He's not going to strike at a high pace. But he usually does better early in the fight. Then he fades out later in the fight, and then we get a split decision. With just a low-paced fight that nobody really cares about. I think all we're really hoping for if you're rostering this fight is that whoever you roster gets a knockout. Otherwise, I don't see him ending up on that 15K lineup. So for me, this is just a full-fade fight for a big GPP like that. I think the only play I could really bring myself to do is Vellante because he's only 7,300 and he just has a better chance of getting on that lineup at that price. I mean, he could go out there and get a knockout, but I just expect this to be a low-paced fight where Vellante gets not – I don't know how to say the other guy's name, so that's why I keep saying
Olszejczyk.
Oleg Olszejczyk. Yeah. All right. I think he just is going to be the more impressive fighter, and he's going to win a decision. But at the $8,900 price tag, you can't pay that off unless he's going to get a knockout, because I don't see him going for many takedowns. And if he does, I think Vellante will be able to stuff him. So I think this fight will take place on the feet, and you're just going to need a knockout for it to score highly. I think the winner scores probably, like 8x their salary. And I'm not interested in that.
Sean, on the regional scene, I saw Oleg Jacek kind of well-rounded, doing a lot of takedowns and kind of fighting that way. Vellante's got a pretty good takedown defense. You think Oleg Jacek is going to defy the odds here and get those takedowns?
I don't. He took down Khalil Roundtree after he took a crap ton of beating in the first round of that fight. So Oleg has some hype behind him. He's 1-0 in the UFC. He beat Khalil Roundtree Jr. He got the tar kicked out of him in the first round, survived, Roundtree gassed, and he took over. Fair play to him. And then he popped from USADA. He hasn't fought over a year, which is always something. You never know how it's going to affect some guys, but it's worth mentioning here, especially, you know, the beating he took in that first fight. I do take a little bit of issue, something that Kyle said. Vellante fights in his UFC career, the average is 9.5 strikes landed per minute. Now, granted, he lands 4.25 and eats 5 a minute, which is not good, but that's some of that skewed from fights against, the Fabio Maldonado fight. He took an ass kicking, and there's another one where he got significantly outstruck, Shogun Hua. But for the most part, he fights pretty close. He lands between, you know, 60 and 80 strikes a fight. I think he's been in the 90 to 100 range as well. Oleg, the tape I've seen on him is not that impressive. His takedown defense for Vellante is 83%, which is really impressive. Corey Anderson didn't take down Jean Vellante. So why in the hell do I think Mikhail Oleg is going to be able to? Patrick Cummings took him down once. Like, I'm not seeing it here. And on the feet, Vellante, it's a little worrisome that he's take one to give two, or take one to give one. He'll get in the firefight. But the price tags just feel off to me. This feels like a fight that should be much closer. I've toyed with the idea of betting Jean Vellante, but unfortunately, he in the cage is a big dum-dum. He has terrible fight IQ. He's a fellow Long Island guy, so I don't want to say that, but he does. So I like Vellante for the price a lot. I don't see Lojasia getting a quick finish or racking up 4 or 5 takedowns in this fight. That would be out of character. Vellante's the better play. He's my pick to win. I think he's viable, even though it's a light heavyweight fight. I think he's viable in cash games. I'll definitely have some of him mixed in tournaments, because there's a bunch of live dogs on this card, but he scores, you know, 80, 85 strikes and gets a decision win. That's 75 points. That's 10x. For this price tag, that could be good enough to end up on the optimal lineup. I'm not saying go overweight on him or go way over the field, but I'm definitely going to be field weight, probably a little over field weight on Jean Vellante. He's one of the couple dogs I'm picking to win straight up on this card. I'm just not impressed with Mikhail Oleg and his win over Khalil Roundtree Jr.
No, and Khalil Roundtree Jr. sucks. I mean, let's get it right. I mean, he's got power in the first round, and that's it. But he sucks across the board. He's not a good fighter. He has very little technique. He's basically just power in the first round. I agree with you. I think Vellante is way too big of an underdog. I don't like rostering Vellante. He doesn't do anything that really scores well in most DraftKings fights, including not really getting finishes. But he does throw bombs. He'll throw throughout. He's game. He's super durable. This fight has a -170 goes to decision prop. So I don't think Oleg Jacek is going to produce. No one produces points against Vellante. No one does. And it's not because he doesn't absorb punches. It's because you can't take him down. And what ends up happening is, if his opponent is trying to take him down, you could waste a minute, minute and a half in a whole little sort of push against the fence attempt for the double leg, like, dance that they do until they give up on it. So that just wastes minutes of fights when people go for that. And if they're not doing that, what's happening is he's winging bombs. And this other dude is going to wing bombs too. Oleg Jacek took a beating from Roundtree in the first round. He just showed himself to be durable. Well, that might just end up with in a fight where two guys just beat the shit out of each other. Maybe we get a knockdown, but I agree with you. I think you're right. It could wind up being this decision. We're not going to know. We're all going to be like, who the fuck won? Well, this one was close and that one wasn't and blah, blah, blah. And if Gian Vellante winds up getting that decision, yeah, I would expect 75 to 80 strikes landed in the 35-point decision and, you know, a 75-80-point total. Okay. Okay, for 7,300. Not necessarily amazing, but not bad. The problem is Oleg Zaychek probably has the same upside in a win, and in that case, I don't really want it for his salary. So, yeah, I'm with you, and I don't mind Vellante in cash if somebody wants to play it. And like I said, you have a pretty solid floor of about 35 striking points, assuming this goes the distance, because you're not taking Vellante down. All right, this next one, and we're going to start with you on this one, Sean. This next one is a really, really interesting fight. We've got – I can't believe it's the co-main event. It's weird.
Peter Jan Dotson should have been the co-main.
I mean, not this. Those two guys have names. You know, at least I think Peter Jan's a future champ. Like, this is what they put. Well, all right. Stefan Struve is a big-time name in Europe. So we've got Marcus Rogério de Lima, minus 125 favorite, taking on Stefan, the string bean Struve, a plus 105 underdog. Now, here's where it gets exciting. Over 1.5 rounds, minus 130. Okay. Fight doesn't go to decision, minus 265. It's 2.5-1 odds that this fight does not go to decision. So, Sean, 100% exposure to this fight, 90%, 80% in GPP. Give me your breakdown.
God, this is – I'm really struggling what to do with this fight because
both guys cheap. I know the – Both guys cheap. We don't need 120 from an $8,200 fighter.
So here's my breakdown is that Struve is a million years old in fight years. He's only 31, but he's a million years old. He's 0-3 in his last three fights, losing to Tybura, Arlovsky, Volkov. Obviously good names, super tall. He's very hittable. Like, the guy's got the tall man defense, can be taken down, but he has the incredibly long limbs and, you know, catches subs. He, by the way, he's been taken down 11 times in his last three fights. And Tybura took him down multiple times. Rogério de Lima won his last fight, but he squeaked by Adam Wojcik. Anytime he takes any kind of step up in competition, he loses. He lost to OSP. He lost to Antigalov.
Is Antigalov, hold on a second. Is Antigalov a step up? Who the fuck is Antigalov that he's a step up? Like, he's not some name of somebody who's good.
Right. Anytime he takes any kind of step up, I was going to get to the guys he wins against are Adam Wojcik and Jeremy Kimball. So from those guys, Antigalov is a step up.
But Antigalov sucks. Let's get it clear.
I don't think he totally sucks. I mean, he's not good. He's not as bad as Jeremy Kimball.
No. Well, yeah. He's better than those guys. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how bad he is. He beat Joaquin. It doesn't matter. His loss was to somebody who's good in Jan Kutalaba. So it's hard to say if he's good or bad.
Ultimately, the breakdown is I think Rogério de Lima is going to win the fight because I think takedowns will be the difference here. But if Struve isn't totally done, he should probably win this fight. And I could also see both these guys have gassed out before. I could see somebody finishing in the third round and still only scoring 70, 80 points. I can totally see that happening. I could especially see Rogério de Lima winning the first round and a half, fading, and Struve putting him away later, finding a sub. Like, I don't think I want to go 80, 90, 100% exposure in this fight because I'm not convinced in a third round win one of these guys is going to put up 100 points. I don't think it's that active a fight. Neither one of these guys fights at a really high volume. I think Rogério de Lima scored like 70-ish points in his win against Wojcik.
If that's what we're sort of going by as a, you know, what a Rogério de Lima win looks like, man, it don't look pretty. So, 68 points, three takedowns, but very little striking. And by the way, de Lima, in all of his fights, the most strikes that he's ever thrown in a single fight. Now, in fairness, this ended in the first round, but a lot of his fights end early, so it's hard to judge this. But I mean, like, he's never thrown more than 29 strikes in a fight. Now, again, in fairness, that 29-strike fight was a first-round submission, But he did go three rounds with Wazorik and only threw 28 strikes as well.
He basically laid on him. I was at that fight, and it parts of it were dicey. But look, everyone sees heavyweight. Everyone sees the inside the distance prop. I'm lower on the fight. I'm thinking I'm going to get some leverage on this fight just being underweight to it. I think I'm going to take Rogério de Lima in some lineups because I see him winning it. And I'm going to hope it doesn't end in the first round. Neither one of these guys strikes me as a first round killer. I think my approach is actually going to be underweight and let the field overexpose themselves to this fight.
It's tough, man. I hate Struve so much. He's such a string bean. He looks like he can get knocked out at any second. And yet, this de Lima guy, he's just not that good either. Kyle, you feel safe on this fight in cash with either of these guys?
No, absolutely not. Not in cash. But I like it for GPPs. However, I think Sean's got the right approach, man. I think I could see this going into a decision and being a low scoring fight. And a lot of people could be too exposed to it. So, I don't think I'm going to be crazy on it, and I'll probably end up full fading. It depends on how many lineups I make, I guess. But I think de Lima has a decent ceiling for his knockout potential. And if he does go for takedowns and not get submitted, he could maybe score highly that way. But you're really hoping for the knockout from him if you're going to roster him. And then with Struve, I think his best shot is to maybe finish de Lima late. And if that's the case, I don't see him having a real high ceiling himself. So, I think Sean's right. Let's just let everyone else get a little overexposed to it and hope that it does go to a decision, because if that happens, it's not going to be on the optimal lineup.
I mean, Vegas has...
But I'll take de Lima, though, for the win.
Vegas has it really close. Struve inside the distance, plus 149. De Lima inside the distance, plus 180. So, I mean, you know, on the betting odds, Struve inside the distance is actually betting higher than de Lima inside the distance, which is interesting, even though de Lima is favored. I'm going to have a lot of exposure to this fight because the salaries fall in an area that's interesting, but there are a bunch of other fights that also fall in this salary range that are interesting. So it's going to remain to be seen how much of it is really required. Anytime you have these middling fights, I think you have to really, really look at them close, because 8,477, those are those magic numbers that always seem to fit in that last spot on your lineup. And so it's like, all right, they can finish. They're heavy guys. They're going to throw some strikes, and they're priced really well, and the finish prop is good. So there's a lot of reason to play the guys from this fight, but I think it's very difficult to call a winner here, because I can see Struve knocking this guy out. I don't think he's very good. I could see Struve maybe locking in a submission at some point. Like, Struve has submissions in his repertoire, but then again, I could see de Lima just taking down the string bean and holding him down. So there's a lot of different ways that this thing can go, and one of which is that low scoring, lay on top of him for three rounds sort of thing that could definitely happen as well. I don't think it's an all in fight either, but I will have exposure because they're big guys, and certainly the finish prop says get some exposure to this thing. Originally I didn't want any Struve, but the more I've thought about it, just and de Lima's real opponents, where they weren't very good, Kimball and Wazorik, I mean, these are the worst of the worst. You know, he loses to guys who are, again, pretty decent in St. Preux and Nikita Krylov. It's a tough call with this guy. All right, let's go on to the next fight, the main event of the evening. And actually a great fight, I think. I don't know if you guys agree, but I'm excited for this fight. I think it's going to be great. One of my favorite fighters to watch, Thiago Santos, a minus 110 pick'em, taking on Jan Błachowicz. Five rounds of action, pick'em fight. Over 1.5 round prop, minus 120. Fight doesn't go to decision, minus 485. 100% all in fight. Who did I go to first last time? Sean? I'm going to go to Kyle this time. And Kyle, are you going to break it up 50-50, 100% exposure across your 150 lineups? Or are you going to have a little bit of a lean here?
I'm going to have a little bit of a lean here. And, well, I think Jan is going to be the chalk of the card. He's $700 cheaper, and now the betting line is even. I could see him being the favorite going into the fight. So I think he's going to be close to 50% owned by the field here. And I'm guessing Santos is going to be about 30% owned. So if I'm making 100 lineups, I'd probably go the opposite of that. I think I would go 50% Santos, 30% Jan.
Wait. What are you doing with those other 20% of lineups?
I would fade it in hopes that Jan won a decision. Because maybe in that case he doesn't end up on the optimal. Or, I mean, shit, you never know. This is MMA. Maybe somebody gets poked in the eye in the first minute and it's a no contest. I'm always too terrified to go 100% on like 100 lineups or 150 lineups.
Oh my gosh. I totally go 100%.
I can't do it. I've just been burned by too many crazy things to where I feel like I can't do 100% unless I'm doing like 20 or less lineups. 20 or less lineups, I think the way to go is 100% on this fight. But I am going to lean Santos. I think he's got the better striking. I don't see Blachowicz finishing him on the ground, but that is his path to victory, to get takedowns, beat him up on the ground a little bit, maybe submit him late. I just think he's more likely to win a decision if he wins personally. Where Santos, I think he's got the big ceiling with the knockout potential. And I think this could be a real fun fight if it stays standing. And if that happens, maybe we see some knockdowns, and then a knockout in any round could be 15K for Santos getting the win. So I like him, and I'm hoping that these betting lines make the ownership lower than it should be on him. He's my GPP play, but I think Jan would be the cash play. You can't pass up on those on the value in cash. So if you're going to go solo in cash, it's Jan, but I'll probably stack.
That's always an important component of the conversation in the main event. Cash stack or not, you know, and I think in the case of this one, just like what I said last week right here on the pod, which was you must own Ngannou in cash. You don't have to own Kane. Same case for me here. I think you have to own Jan Blachowicz in cash. You don't.
But the ownerships were actually flipped than what we thought. Like you had thought Ngannou was going to be 50-60 and Kane was going to be like 30-ish. I don't know if you went through the double. That was flipped. Kane was like 55% and Ngannou was like 30.
That's just a reminder of that people are bad at making cash lineups. Because Ngannou should have been 100% owned in cash. You don't not play that guy as an underdog. I don't want to get back into that. It's the same story. It's the same story here. There was a reason why Ngannou needed to be owned. And it was because even in a loss, he was going to score in that particular fight. Whereas with Kane,
Jan doesn't score in a loss.
If he lost, he wasn't going to score.
He was going to score. I mean, you think Kane's going to hold him down? There was no, I didn't.
If he lost, yeah. If he lost, it would have been from Kane holding him down.
Yeah,
and
but
same
I get
thing
it,
for this week.
Not,
I don't. If, five if rounds. Jan loses, if Jan loses, he's going to sleep in the first 90 seconds.
Yes, the slightly different scenario in this case, but you take the cheaper guy. And this is a different fight in that sense because. The killer knockout guy, the potential zero here is with Jan, right? But Jan's been very durable. But let me have you break this down. So, Sean, I started talking about other things. Sean, what's your breakdown on this fight? Do you think that the minus 110 odds currently, in other words, that this is a pick'em fight at this point, and therefore are you going to be heavier on Jan than Thiago?
No, because I bet this fight about an hour ago. I don't want to wait for the lines anymore. I might get a bum line now, but I pulled the trigger on betting Thiago Santos. Everybody, the Twitter mush is Jan Blachowicz. He is going to be chalk if you want to play him in cash. For the odds value, I get it. I do want to say that I've been on the Jan train. Like, I was picking him before it was cool to pick him. I've cashed him as underdog the last few fights. Jimmy Manoa. Like, he is definitely, by the way, back on the juice. That is definitely helping him. But I've been picking him. I'm hopping off now when everybody is trying to jump on the train with me. It's time to get off. Thiago Santos looks better at 205. I know he's been knocked out by David Branch. I get it. Jan Blachowicz, he doesn't have that kind of, that one-shot power. And Santos, man, the dude's kicking game is dangerous. I think he's going to head kick knock out Jan Blachowicz. I think Jan's going to try and close the distance. I think he's going to eat something and go out. I don't think Jan's got the kind of smothering top game where even if he gets on top, I know he got a sub last time out against Nikita Krylov. I don't think he's going to put away Thiago Santos. I think at some point Santos makes this a war. And while Jan has been durable, Santos also has more weapons than a guy like Jimmy Manoa who put Jan through a war. Manoa's all boxing. These kicks from Thiago Santos, head kick, body kick, like, the two throws hard. I broke this fight down. I taped it before I saw the line, and I finished up when the line started to move. I'm like, okay, I like Santos here. Let me see how low this line gets. It got to a pick 'em. I made the bet, and I agree completely with what Kyle said in the DFS breakdown. Everyone's going to be on Jan for the odds value, and Santos is the one with the 110 point upside. I'm going to be it is an all-in fight. Right now, I'm looking at like 70-30% Santos. I want to go way over the field. I want to get as much leverage as I can for somebody who I think is going to be under-owned. It's one of those I'm kind of trusting my eyes. If you want to go based on the odds, then Jan Blachowicz is the play. I like Santos more in this spot. You can call me crazy. Kyle said it last week, potentially rolling out Naked Kane, which did not go well if he did it. I didn't see his cash lineup. I'm considering rolling out Naked Santos here because I like him that much. The problem is the odds value. But odds value has burned people before, and there's another spot on this card that it's just odds value can be dicey.
Yeah, we haven't.
How much book do you want to go by? And if you can build a lineup that you like with just Santos, it's against the odds value. I don't hate it, and I'm toying with a version of that myself. But Santos is the better GPP play by far, and you can stack this fight.
One of the things I try to do in cash games is reduce the number of variables as much as I possibly can. So the way I'm reducing those variables, obviously we're analyzing these fights. We're trying to look at, okay, what will happen in a loss for this person? What happens in a win? How is it going to go down? What's the more likely thing? Certainly there are wacky things that happen and crazy situations. And all of a sudden, Khabib's cousin knocks out Ramos in 10 seconds when he hadn't been really knocking anybody out. You know, shit happens. But in general, I'm trying to reduce the number of variables. So let's say I'm looking at this fight and I think, yeah, I agree with you. I like Thiago, right? I like Thiago. I think he's got a 60% chance of winning. But right now, you know, on the betting odds, it's 50-50. So, yeah, it's bettable. But even 60%, I mean, that gives me a 40% chance the other guy's going to win. And there's no way you could tell me with Santos and the ways that he has lost fights in his career that it's not possible that Jan takes this guy down, takes his back, and rear naked chokes him. That could totally happen. You know, it's not that Jan's some sort of a submission guy, but I mean, it's not out of the realm of things that could happen that this guy takes down Santos, and Santos, you know, once he's on his back, doesn't necessarily know what to do with himself. I think he does know what to do with himself. I don't think he's the worst at takedown defense either. I think he's probably not bad. But, you know, he also loses concentration. It could happen. So there are some paths to the loss. Blachowicz can get a knockout. It could happen. So there's a few different paths that tell me I'd rather just stack this fight, get those two variables out of the way, pretty much lock up 115 points with the pair. I know it's not 160 or 180 point stack, but, you know, I take that stack, I'll lock up my 120 or so points most likely, and then try to figure out how to make the rest of my lineup work. If I throw an underdog in there that I like, then I could put three super studs in my lineup. So as far as breaking down this particular fight, I love it. I'm excited to watch it. I love Santos. I just love him as a fighter. He's so badass. He's so fluid. He's so big. You know, he just looks like he's got long limbs. Everything about him, those legs, his kicks are awesome. So he does a lot. But Blachowicz is also a pretty durable guy. Doesn't get knocked out very often. I mean, you don't just go in there and do three rounds of striking with Jimmy Manoa. That's pretty badass. You know, his losses have come. I mean, it is hard to get past the loss to Cummins. I'm not going to kid you. But Cummins is a wrestler, and Cummins wrestled him. But this guy's been in the ring with Jimmy Manoa multiple times and lasted. You know, he lasted three rounds with Corey Anderson. So he hasn't been getting knocked out. So but Santos knocks everyone out. So I think there's a few ways it can go. I think you stack it. As far as my exposures, yeah, I'm going to maybe have the only reason I might have a little bit more Santos here is just because of the line value. Everybody's going to be on Jan, I expect. So there'll be some GPP leverage to being a little heavier on Thiago. All right. That's going to wrap up the main card portion of this podcast. And for anybody who wants to hear the rest, if you want to get Sean's player picks, if you want to get Marley's actual plays for DraftKings listed out in terms of GPP, cash, or whatever, if you want my picks, and hey, I'm okay at this stuff too, I think. I break down the fights and put my picks down, cash plays, GPP plays, confidence, all of that shit. So DFSArmy.com VIPs get access to everything. There is a reason our members keep crushing all of these contests. It's not an accident. It's because they have the sharpest minds in the industry advising them, breaking down the plays, answering questions. There's nothing really quite like it. Go to DFSArmy.com, use promo code Sniper, use promo code Sleeveless. You get 20% off your membership. It's locked in for life. Support this podcast and maybe make us do a full one. Actually, we do a full one, but just for DFS Army VIP. So if you're not a DFS Army VIP member, good luck on the fights. If you are, hang in there and we'll be back with the prelims.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.